morning, everyone. Good to see you. Good to be with you. Forgive me, I'm not feeling the best today, so I'll give you the best that I have, all right? We have been looking at Jesus as a king. And if you were here last week, you know we spoke about Jesus as a little baby and how he was born and how he came into the world. Not the way in which people expected. Yet, that greatest story that was ever told is a story that most of us are familiar with. Most of us understand the meaning and purpose behind it. But it's something that is very important that we never forget how Jesus came and the model that he set for us. I think this is especially important in these days. We don't have a lot of good models for leadership. We don't have a lot of good models for people who are servants in this world today. We have people that are power hungry, people that think that everything is about them. And so we have to turn to the scriptures and understand that Jesus is the one who is the true king. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is the Lord. And so we look at that sacrifice. Today we're going to take a turn. Everybody loves a good story of a newborn baby. They're great. New life comes in. And a lot of people say that we have things backwards in our world. We're happy when a baby comes into the world, and we're sad when people die. Someone has said that we probably should be sad when someone comes into this world, and as Christians, be happy for someone that's exiting this world. Think about that for a little bit and see what you come up with. When we talk about God in the story that is the greatest story ever told, we see Jesus as God's love come down in human form. Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus is the one who came to save us from our sins. And this love and this sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross was one that changed everything. It changed everything. And so as we journey from the manger that we were at last week and today, we kind of journey more toward the cross and the empty tomb, we find that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, gave it all. He gave all that he had. He gave everything. And that love is stronger than death. That love is stronger than death, and it gives us hope in which we can live and continue to live in this world. This King of Kings is not like any other king. There was no grand coronation. There was no special event that really took place in that regard. But there were these shepherds, there were these angels, there were wise men that came from afar, that worshiped this baby. And they would see the greatness in him. They would see the power in him. They would understand that he was here to do something more than just for himself. That's the kind of king he was and is. In John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, we find a scripture of Jesus restoring sight to a blind man. I want you to listen to these words. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him. Wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. That's a great miracle. Someone who was blind from birth had never seen before. And Jesus does something really kind of weird. He spits on the dirt and makes this paste, you know, and puts it on this man's eyes. It's kind of probably not the most sanitary thing, but he did it. But the thing is that he gave the person, the man who was born blind, he gave them a command. Go. Go and wash yourself in this pool. And it was no accident that he sent him to the pool of Siloam. There's no accident that he was sent. And that's what Jesus does for all of us. He sends us out. He heals us, either physically or emotionally or spiritually, and then he sends us out. And we need to be obedient to whatever it is that he tells us that we are to do. This miracle that we see here is great. Okay, don't get me wrong. This is an awesome miracle. This guy was blind, and now he can see. But it's more than just physical healing. There's much more going on here than just a physical healing. Jesus was trying to demonstrate the love of God. And in the scripture, he says, you're only going to have a short time to do these things while I am here. I am the light of the world, but darkness is coming. There'll be a day when there's no longer that opportunity. And so Jesus is revealing the heart and the compassion of God in this act, this miracle. Not just so this guy can see. That's part of it. But his main point, I believe, is that people then can see the love of God, the compassion of God, and he wants everybody to look to God who sent Jesus. That's what he says in there. There's another miracle in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, and I don't believe this one's on the screen. But anyway, it's familiar. It's a passage of scripture where Jesus is calling his disciples. It's very early on, and he's out on the beach, and he's calling these fishermen. And he says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Not only has Jesus performed physical miracles, but Jesus was also very much about helping people to be transformed. So you might be in need of a miracle. You may be praying for something today that, you know, you've been praying about for a long time. Lord, heal my loved one. Lord, help me to feel better. Lord, help my financial situation, my relationships, all those things. And those are good things to pray about. But here in this place, Jesus is calling these fishermen so that their lives may be transformed. And when Jesus calls you, you can guarantee that your life will be transformed. Your life will be changed. This also goes back to the fact that we should serve humbly, that we should serve in all circumstances. And Jesus called these ordinary fishermen. That's what I always love about the Bible, is that God calls people that are just so ordinary, people who have made mistakes, people who've fallen short, people who society would cast out. And Jesus says, wait a minute. You can be forgiven. You can be transformed by the love of God. And by the way, go. Go and be cleansed. And so through all of that, we learn that Jesus meets us in our brokenness. Jesus meets us and helps to bring restoration to all of our lives. He came to show that God's power is rooted in compassion and in love. So whether it's physical blindness, whether it's spiritual blindness, that's a thing, or hearing issues, you know, those who have ears, let them hear. Not everybody who has ears hears. Not everybody who has eyes sees. But Jesus is saying that let those who have eyes see, let those who have ears hear. And Jesus called us not only to transform us physically, but also to have a new purpose. He meets us right where we are, and he calls us to be a people of faith. Now, we've just concluded the Easter season. Yes and no. Easter, the day, is concluded, but Easter continues on every Sunday. But the road to the cross is something that we should always remember. And Jesus went to this cross willingly. It was no surprise to him. He knew it was coming. He knew that he was going to die on the cross. And being a king and being a leader is not only about power. Being a king and being a leader is not only about miracles. It's about sacrifice. I believe that the Bible tells us to make sacrifices for others. I believe that true Christian leadership is about sacrifice, and that leadership in our world should be about sacrifice for others. And the road to the cross wasn't just a tragic twist of fate. Again, Jesus knew. It was all part of God's plan from the very beginning. He knew it was coming. He knew what the road was that was ahead. He knew of the coming betrayal. He knew of the pain. He knew that the weight of the sin, your sins and mine, would be upon his shoulders. He knew that he had come in order to die for our sins. And he came because God has a great love for humanity. God desires to show us his love. So many people in the world talk about God, a God of vengeance, a God of judgment. That's there. But the God I read about in Scripture is more interested in showing you his love, his patience, his forgiveness. That's the God that I read about in the Bible. And I hope you do too. Jesus was not caught off guard by the cross. He willingly embraced the cross. Now, as Jesus and his disciples would journey toward Jerusalem, there was a conversation that was going on between them. And Jesus told his disciples, look, this is what's going to happen to me. I must go to Jerusalem, and there I'm going to suffer many things. Now, if you had a loved one that told you this, like, I need to go to Pocahontas today, or Vandalia, or Edwardsville, or wherever, and there I'm going to suffer many things, what would be your first reaction? Don't go. Please, stay here with me. We'll try to protect you. This doesn't have to be this way. That was Peter. Peter, one of the closest followers of Christ, rebuked him. Jesus rebuked him. And told him that the Messiah had to die. That was the message. That's why Jesus came. So what did Jesus then say to Peter? Well, it sounds pretty harsh what he said to him. He said these words. He said, get behind me, Satan. Now people say, well, he's calling Peter Satan. He wasn't calling Peter Satan. he was saying that Satan was trying to use Peter to get Christ off track. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You are a stumbling block to me." That's the devil. "You do not have the mind in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." And so, when the devil tempts you, remember, his concerns aren't about you. They're not about this world. They're all about him. They're all about his power and his attempt to take it. It doesn't belong to him. He never had it and never will. Amen? Yeah. So the road to the cross is a journey of faith that Jesus took. It's a journey of faith that we all go on each year as we look to the cross and as we follow along the paths of all the different events that happen in those last weeks of Jesus' life. And this verse from John chapter 15, verse 13, is a verse that I love, and I think it really shows who we should be as Christians. "Greater love has no one than this, than they lay down their life for a friend." Meaning that you are willing to sacrifice your time, your talent, your treasure, to give up a special moment in time in order to be there for someone who needs you in a moment of desperation. Christ gave up his life for you, for me, for the whole world. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down their life for a friend. People talk about a lot of things in this world, don't they? Talk is cheap, as they say. Talk is cheap. But Jesus didn't just talk about love. He showed love. His sermons were the ones that were done with action many times, not just words. Talk is cheap. Action gets things done. Are you willing this morning to sacrifice? Are you willing to give up your time, your talent, your treasure for someone else? Are you willing to lay down, to die to yourself, as it says in the scriptures, so that Jesus might live in you? Are you willing to do that today? Are you willing to die to yourself so that other people might see Jesus in you and therefore they too can live? The beautiful thing about what I said earlier about when someone who is a Christian dies is we have victory over death. Death has no power over us. And we might say, "Well, yeah, Pastor, but the person still passed away." Well, that's right, physically. But spiritually, they live on. Their soul lives on in through Christ in heaven with him. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When we leave that body, we are present with Jesus. The story does not end at the cross. The story continues on, as we know. Jesus was taken down from that cross by Joseph of Arimathea, and he had a tomb prepared, and they placed Jesus there. And on the third day, he rose again. The tomb was empty. This was not just a miracle, even though, yes, it is a miracle. Jesus rose from the dead. But it's not just a miracle. It's a fulfillment of all prophecy. It's a fulfillment of all things that God, through his prophets, had foretold. And Jesus fulfilled them to the very end. In Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6, an angel says, "Do not be afraid," to the women at the tomb. "I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." It's the ultimate proof. And we know that not only that particular experience, but many more appearances of the risen Christ took place in the following days, the 40 days that Jesus remained following his resurrection. Just think about death. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in chapter 15 of the 1 Corinthians, verses 55 and 50 through 57. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, once we accept Jesus, that sin and that law, they have no more power over us. Jesus gives us that by his death on the cross. Where is that victory? Where is that sting? It doesn't matter. So, let us celebrate this day and every Sunday that we continue to gather here in this space. The good news of Jesus Christ, the resurrection from the dead, the power over sin and the grave. Let us celebrate that Jesus was not surprised by the cross, but embraced it. Let us acknowledge that Jesus came not only to perform miracles, but those miracles were performed so that people could know God and see God and understand his great love and compassion. That is the Jesus that I love. That is the Jesus that I serve. And I pray that you understand that and that you too serve that same Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, you are the King of Kings. You are a strong fortress. And yet you are a humble Savior. Let the reality of your life, let the reality of your death, and the reality of your resurrection inspire us as we journey through life, and above all, give us the grace to love others as you have loved us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, would someone get the children or the teachers that want to come in for communion, please? And then as Betty does that, thank you, Betty. Remind everyone the communion cups are here. And I think everybody here has used these before. If not, they're kind of like coffee creamers. That just peels back there. And we'll peel back the bread first, and then, of course, second, we'll do the juice. All right. We read in Scripture about what we know as the Last Supper, an event that took place during the Passover in the upper room where Jesus was with his disciples on the day before Good Friday. And it was there that Jesus told his disciples about these elements and what they meant. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Please receive the bread in remembrance of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your body. Not only your physical body, which was here on earth and dwelt among us, a body that came down from heaven in a very special and miraculous way, a body that would later be hung upon a cross and mocked. And we thank you, the Lord, that it was your plan all along and that Jesus took upon the sins of the world to forgive us. We thank you for this body of Christ, the church, for each person, for the gifts that you've given them, the abilities that they have to serve you. Thank you, God, for each one. And may you use all of us together as one body, showing others the good news of Jesus Christ, the love of God, so that they too can know him as we do. In Jesus' name, amen. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the remission of your sins. As often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until he comes again." Jesus told his disciples to receive this as often as they met. And so on the first Sunday of each month, we acknowledge this and we receive these elements as a reminder of God's love for us. Let us receive the cup. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. And as we held that cup in our hands, it was a symbol of just how much you loved us. And we are grateful. We are grateful that it was your plan all along. We are grateful that we can receive it and be reminded of your love for us, but also as a challenge to each of us to share the good news of Christ, to tell others about his love and the sacrifice that he made and what true compassionate leadership looks like. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for God's plan. And thank you for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.